Good morning, everyone. How y'all doing? You doing all right? Lord, these people can sing, can't they? I thought Whitney had come back for a minute. Yes, yes. Oh, we are in the times right now, aren't we? We in it now. It's been a summer. I just saw a meme that says, 20, 30 years from now, when all our kids and cousins and them are in school, they're going to be going over U.S. history. And they'll say, all right, class, that takes us through 2015. Now let's go to 2017. And all the kids go, wait, what happened to 16? We don't talk about 2016. Prince died. First of all, that year was brutal. But my friends, I want us to remember, there's no need for us to skip any part of our history. Those of us who are people of the book, that's what sometimes we refer to folks who read the Bible and find a lot of their guiding lessons in the Bible. We're people of the book. We're people of the way of faith. We are people of belief. We are people who know that God has given evidence to the world that renewal is coming. We are people who know that even though the night is dark, there are stars in the sky. We are people who know that Jesus, the one who, oh, I love how we just said it, the one who he is the only person whose opinion of you matters. We know that he came to embody the least of these so that we might embody the love that he shared with us. So I don't need to skip no years in my history. But what I want us to do today together is tell the truth about everything that has happened so that it will not happen again. Can we do that? And you can talk to me. You can say, uh-oh, all right, now you're stepping on my foot. You know, just talk to me. I'm a black preacher. And that means I've never done anything unless it's conversational. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Church of God in Christ, AME, NIM. Well, I mean, the preacher, it's like you fill in the blank. It's like a call and response sermon every time somebody preaches in my tradition. In the Black Lives Matter movement that started long before what happened in my area, you know, near Ferguson, Missouri. I'm from St. Louis, but Michael Brown was killed by Darren Wilson in Ferguson. We're coming up on that 2-year anniversary. And I want it to sink in that nobody has been brought to justice for this death. I want you to think about the fact that all remaining charges in the death of Freddie Gray have been dropped. And now I want you to tell me, do all lives matter here? I want you to think about the fact that in this room, on this land, this place should look a lot more like Seminole tribes, like Apalachee tribes. But it's mostly non-native people. Why? Because, my friends, all lives do not matter in this country, and they never have. Every day when you put your foot to the ground, you are walking on land ripped away from people who were told, we're building a country, and you're not welcome in it. We're going to take your land. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your land. And we're going to move y'all somewhere else, you know, further, like closer to the desert. So think in your heart, let it sink into your gut, that before any of us has a right to any kind of pride, we first must embrace a very necessary humility. This is how we can commit to truth-telling. This is how we can say that whatever movement we enter into, wherever we go, racial equity, the fact that you mean as much to God as I do, and therefore you and I mean the same thing to each other. Racial equity is the lens through which we now look. Previously, it was racial demonization. Think about it. Dehumanizing one another. All that does is add stress and destruction to everything we touch. And yet here we are in a day where a young man can be driven around by police, killed, his death ruled a homicide, Say that. Freddie Gray's death was ruled a homicide. Say those words. And now say, no one is responsible for Freddie Gray's death. In a world where both of those sentences are true, in a country where both of those sentences are true, it must be time for a new kind of truth. Am I right? So whatever you do to commit to truth-telling, do it wisely, do it with humility, and do it for love. Not for attention, not for fame, not because you're hoping people will respond and look at you and say, oh, you the stuff. Here's why. When Michael Brown was killed, many of us, hundreds of us, went out and protested. And more, even more of us around the nation were at home talking to our friends. People were clicking like on Facebook, right? They were clicking share. These days when it happens, you click angry face, right? I'm older, so y'all got to help me. I don't know what chat snap is or nothing. Just snapping all the chats. Look. So what happened was we went out and we said, this is not right. This is unjust. Similar things happened in Baltimore when Freddie Gray died. My friends, look at what happened to protesters, to people who were standing up and trying to bring noise to a thing that had been far too silent. For some of you, that's your future. And I got a card for you. I'm going to bring you in to training. Don't leave now. I need me some interns. Y'all want to come do some good direct action training in St. Louis? You know where to find me. Come on. Some of you are going to pick a different kind of movement, a movement about the justice system itself. Some of you will be the next Marilyn Mosby, but you are not protected as you would hope by wearing a suit, by being a lawyer. You are not any more protected than a protester on the street. As we speak right now, 5 of the 6 officers responsible for Freddie Gray's death are suing state's attorney Marilyn Mosby. In a world where the people who killed a young man have the right to sue the person who's trying to hold them responsible, it's time for us to enter into as many movements as possible so that we might have an impact not only on the noise that comes, on the truth-telling in the streets that is very necessary. We must also remember to walk in the humility and the commitment that says, even if I suffer, I am telling the truth because it is the truth that has set me free. Even if I am accused, Mosby is going to be sued. She's being sued for truth-telling. And the day, my friends, when that comes to you, you have to be strong and ready to keep pressing on anyhow. That's how the old folks used to say it. I'm going to keep on keeping on anyhow. And we clapping, you know, some of us ain't clapping like, hey, that's real. That's going to be real hard, Michelle. Because y'all already know, yeah, I want to keep on keeping on. I definitely do. But that's so difficult. It's so hard. Psalm 137, how can we sing? I stood facing a line of police with riot gear, with enormous guns. I don't even want to identify them. I don't know what they was. Y'all, I was just like, that's a real big gun. And all I got is these 2 feet and some junk in the trunk. I'm finna move it as fast as I possibly can. You hear me? I stood and I faced people who were not all white, these police officers, St. Louis and Ferguson. I stood and I faced people who might have recognized from college or seminary. I stood and I faced people who were human. And I thought, how can I sing? How can I sing in the face of danger? My friends, God sent his son, Jesus. God sent someone to sing of the equity that is evident by the fact that God made us different races. God sent someone to sing over us, to give embodied evidence, a physical body on the earth sent to sing that we are equal to one another. And more than that, we need each other. Some of you know this shirt, "I Met God, She's Black." Does anybody have that shirt? I've got to get me one. We heard last night that Jesus is going to say in the end days, "I was sick, I was hungry, I was in prison, and you visited me, or you didn't visit me." Think about what the Lord is saying. He's saying, y'all met God. Y'all met God. Have you met God? Do you know him? She's black. Y'all met God. Have you met God? Do you know Jesus? Jesus is a trans person of color. Have you met him? Have you met God? Do you know Jesus? Jesus rolls hard in a wheelchair. Have you met God? Do you know Jesus? Jesus is not the classic European silhouette. He might not be 6'5", hot as Brad Pitt and them. He ain't no Ryan Gosling. Jesus is the last person you want to touch. God is the last person you thought about today, or he's the first person you thought about when you heard the word grotesque. Jesus lives in a refugee camp. Jesus lives in Ferguson, Missouri. Jesus lived in Palestine. Jesus does not speak English. Have you met God? Do you know God? The God that you worship is not the face that capitalism and materialism would have you believe. And once you have met God, once you have known the source of all of your dignity, all of your value, you will never question the worth of somebody else. Never a question. Never a question. And so now that we can say, now that we can recognize that every life is sacred to God, then we can begin to live the way that Jesus lived, which is by getting really specific about which people's lives are at risk. So many of us have friends who will say, well, how come you can say black power, but I can't say white power? Or people will say, well, you're talking about Black Lives Matter. What about all lives? My friends, we've established that until the lives of the marginalized are risen up to a place of liberation, all lives matter is a lie. It is a lie. Black lives matter must be the truth if all lives matter is ever to be the truth. Native lives have never mattered here. And so why do we argue and push and fight when Michelle Obama says, I live in a house built by slaves? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. What is the point? What is the point of us gathering together to sing, to pray, and to worship? If you look at each other in here, I believe that, you believe that, okay, cool. No, you've got to go out and tell the truth. You are facing something that seems so large. You don't want to stop your friends when they make that stupid joke, or you're afraid to face Mama Nim, Nana Nim, when they start going in and judging people for what they look like. But remember, Jesus is the people that they are judging. He is the poor. He is the marginalized. Your God is not heterosexual. Your God is not chasing fame. Your God is the deepest, most forgotten, most ignored pieces of you and of your community. And that is why it is your truth-telling that will be the very evidence that your community can be renewed. The reason that we press on even though it's hard. Don't decide not to go to law school just because Marilyn Mosby is getting prosecuted. Remember that it's her lawsuit that proves to us that she is capable of truth-telling even when it's hard. Don't forget that in Psalm 137, the captors were forcing enslaved people to sing their worship songs. Think about that. Pull that up on your smartphone. Psalm 137. We have hung up our harps. We can't sing anymore because the people who captured us are making us sing our most beloved songs as if they were a joke. Do we live in a country where we're doing that? Don't we? We do. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. In some of our houses of worship, we say people of color have a seat at the table. But as the Reverend Dr. Tracy Blackman reminds us, a seat at the table is worthless without a say in what's on the menu. I don't need your seat. I don't need tokenism. People of color are not the mascot of the church in the United States. People are people. And so as we read these Psalms and we remember how Jesus is the embodiment of equity, let us also not be afraid to tell the truth, even when it's us that is the problem. Yeah, see, that one was a bit harder. We didn't jump up and shout real fast. Sometimes it's us that's the problem. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever thought? There's not a lot of people in power around me that ain't white. My dear, dear friends, there are groups in our country who would say that whiteness is fading and that is why we must protect it. But I want you all to know that it is not a problem to fade a little bit. When you have been raised, when generations have been raised for hundreds of years to believe that they belong in the center, it's time to bring other people in the middle with you. Whiteness isn't going anywhere. And I love y'all. I love y'all. My white family, listen to me. I'm descended from white people who abused and had their way with African slaves. Until I have the freedom, the confidence, and the security, and the fact that the Almighty God loves me as I am, I can't tell you the whole truth. Don't skip that part of your history. Because do you know what God's gonna do with this little, real short, I'm like five something, but like I said, junk. Do you know what God's gonna do with this little descendant from abusers and the abused? I will dedicate my life to the liberation both of those who feel they must oppress and those who are being oppressed. I will never stop until rape, until abuse, until state-sanctioned murder is off the table. I will never stop until you and I can grapple with our history together and sometimes even disagree without despising one another. I will never stop until equity is our eyes, until liberation is our souls, until my gut tells me that my seat at the table is worth something more than taking a picture of the black girl who showed up to speak. We cannot stop. We cannot stop. And why? Why not? Why not just stop? There's so much guilt, hurt, depression. Some of you have heard about the trauma that is experienced even today in St. Louis and in Ferguson. So much deep trauma. We cannot stop because we believe in a God who gave everything. This cross ain't no token, y'all. This is an instrument of what? Of execution. Jesus killed at the hands of the state. If you truly dedicate your life to the man who died like this, then surely you can dedicate your life to reversing the ills, the punishment, and the abuses that happen to people everywhere who were just as undeserving of that death. We can do it. He gave us his story. Jesus gave us the story of equity in the Word. And because he also ascended and left us to do that work, I think we better get happen. Somebody say, get on it, y'all. Y'all remember when Beyonce dropped Formation? She dropped that video. Y'all remember that? Oh, so hot. It is so hot. And Saturday Night Live did this little sketch with all these white folk like, oh, my God, that's not for us. That's not for us. What are we going to do? This is freaking me out. I want you to think about that and remember, you should be happy that something so famous is saying for once that somebody else is the center of attention. We should be happy. We should rejoice. When I go shopping with my girlfriends and I'm like, I gotta get some shampoo, y'all. And they're like, okay, here's the normal to oily, and then here's the stuff for dark and curly. I said, do you hear what you just said? Normal. What does normal mean on a shampoo bottle? Tell me, come on. It means straight, and you don't have to be white to have straight hair, right? But normal, there's one thing that's normal. What kind of trauma does that do to everybody who's not normal? There's only one hair type that's normal. When will the church rise up and say, God sets the norms, not us. It's time. It's time. So I have to leave you now because I've been talking for so long. This red thing like beeping at me like, woo, we know you a black preacher because y'all just, it's like a St. Louis minute, a Texas one, a California one. Listen, I want you to remember that we have a mission and that there is no one movement that will accomplish the massive mission of liberating everyone to treat each other with dignity. A huge part of that mission is saying to yourself, I don't belong in the center. Because you are the apple of God's eye. You are the center of God's mission on earth. You don't have to be the middle of United States culture. Because you are the center of the joy of Jesus. Somebody say that. I am precious to my God. I am beloved. Know that in yourself, because there will come a time when somebody who is hated and despised needs to be told the same thing. Know that and remember, you are already precious. You don't have to be the center. You don't have to set the norm. Isn't it beautiful? You don't have the responsibility of setting the norm. Anybody who sets the norm has to control every outcome, and that's too heavy a weight to bear. This is why racial equity is important. This is why we must march on. We must continue
to exude the confidence that comes with knowing our God loves us. The reason that I don't want you to worry, even in the face of potential hostility, I don't want you to worry, because everything that they try to kill, God's gonna bring back to life. So you can hold on. And remember, your God who is black, who is trans, who is differently abled, who is non-English speaking, your God is coming. And when God comes, renewal will come. And so I leave you with this song that I share with all of my family on the streets. Y'all come on and see us sometime. I'm serious. I got all the space and a whole bunch of good food. We're going to get down. We sing, hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Will be all right. So you've got to work on, oh, just a little while longer. Come on, y'all. Work on just a little while longer. Work on, yeah, just a little while longer, because everything will be all right. Let's sing on. Sing on just a little while longer. Sing on just a little while longer. Sing on, yeah, just a little while longer. Everything will be all right. Will be all right. Say it in your spirit. Everything will be all right. Believe that.